Christ's glory, His divine story. Every Thursday on Morning Glory. Catch the vibe with me, Karuna Munshi, on Radio Sai's Thursday Live on Asia Stream at 9:40 a.m. Shri Sairam. It is 9:40 a.m. Indian Standard Time. Today is the 5th of April 2018 and you are tuned to Asia Stream on Radio Sai. Dear listeners, we are coming to you live from the Radio Sai studios in Prashanthi Nilayam, India. And by the way, Sairam and good morning and welcome to Morning Glory on Thursday Live, your all-day live connection to Prashanthi Nilayam, the spiritual capital of the universe. My name is Karuna and I'd like to begin by offering myself at the lotus feet of the Lord of the Universe, Bhagwan Sri Satya Sai Baba. Apart from being my personal hero, Bhagwan Baba is also the voice, the ears, the heart and soul of Radio Sai. Current weather conditions in the abode of Supreme Peace are seasonally warm. Minimum temperature 24, maximum 39 degrees Celsius. General outlook for the day is a mix of sun and cloud. We look for that little whiff of cloud so that we can park our cars under it and walk along the shade of the trees right now. That's how it is. Here's what's making news in your true home, that is Prashanthi Nilayam. We are experiencing an emotional month as we approach the 7th anniversary of the Aradhana Day, which is coming up on 24th of April 2018. On behalf of the entire Radio Sai team here, and that includes those of us you hear so often and others who work diligently, silently behind the scenes. Let me remind you, dear sisters and brothers, that at moments like these, we all gather as one family to support each other and to recommit ourselves to the teachings of our Lord, who taught us how to experience pure inner joy and happiness. The one who empowered us to believe in ourselves, because he insisted that each of us is divine, and that when we connect with our higher God selves within, we are in tune with our Lord, because there is no duality. All is one. Each of us is a manifestation of that pure essence of God. This Aradhana Day on April 24, 2018, let us all recommit ourselves to our Lord, His mission and His teachings, and live cleaner, purer, simpler lives. Because God is pure, God is clean, God is clear, and God is simple. Everything else is complex, complicated, and convoluted. But let's not forget that everything else is also fluff. Just that. Here today, gone tomorrow. Out of sheer ignorance, we tend to attach so much importance to trivial matters in our lives and get ourselves so worked up at all times. So days like the upcoming Aradhana Day remind us of what matters and what is a mere passing fad. Let's hold on to our Sadguru, seated firmly in our hearts, whose grace has shielded us throughout and will continue to protect us. In honor of our Divine Parent, let us reform our conduct, refine our thoughts and simplify our relationship with the world, like Bhagwan, who loved us unconditionally. And what did he expect in return? Nothing. Just be good human beings. Hard to believe such a one ever walked this earth. In honor of our beloved Bhagwan, who lends meaning, sweetness, spiritual sense, common sense, everything to our life, I remind each one of you to spend the Aradhana Day meaningfully in a manner worthy of our Master, who was simplicity and sacrifice incarnate. And now for the show this morning, dear listeners, I've lined up part one of Fleeting Moments, Lasting Memories with Mr. Rajesh Iyer. An alumnus of the Sai University, Rajesh Iyer is in conversation with my colleague at Radio Sai, Mr. Bishu Prushti. As always, we will look forward to your feedback to this episode of Morning Glory. Please share your thoughts, comments and suggestions with us regarding any Radio Sai programs by writing to us at this email ID, listener@radiosai.org. Over now to Fleeting Moments with Rajesh Iyer. On the other side of the show, you can enjoy a few Morning Glory favorite audio specials. And till we meet next Thursday, Sai Ram, adios, and have a great day ahead. Excuse me. May all things positive, edifying, and blessed come your way. May Swami guide your path, and may we all have a good day, including myself, because I have 552 things to do before I go to bed, and all of them are deadline-bound. So I'm praying for all of us. So when, you know, when we say Samasta Loka Sukhino Bhavantu, we include ourselves with automatically, but today I'm making an extra effort to ask Swami for help. And I hope He helps each one of our listeners and blesses you and protects you wherever you are. Thank you for your company, dear listeners. Jai Sai Ram.
Salam, dear listeners, and welcome to Fleeting Moments, Lasting Memories, our series of conversations with former students of Bhagwan's educational institutions. Today is the first day of the new year 2018, and you have so many alumni of Bhagwan's institutions who are here to offer their gratitude to Bhagwan. I am in the studio with Brother Rajesh Iyer to record a conversation. His story is a telling narrative of how once you really surrender at His feet, once you give everything of yours in His hands, you begin to see His hand in everything. Today we are here in the studio to ruminate and contemplate on how He shapes us, on how He holds our hand in times of pain as well as in times of joy, and how He slowly, gradually lifts us so that one day we can shine resplendently as His proud instruments until we realize that we are Him. So with Bhagwan's grace, we have this special session of Fleeting Moments, Lasting Memories on the New Year Day. And Brother Rajesh Iyer had the opportunity to do his schooling in Prashant Nilayam way back in 1993. In 1995, Bhagwan blessed him to continue his education here. He did his bachelor's in commerce, moved on to pursue his master's in financial management. Once he completed that in the year 2000, he worked for very reputed firms in the Indian capital markets like Motilal Oswal and Sher Khan. And in 2011, different things happened in his life, and destiny now put him in a different company. He was now the assistant vice president in looking after the treasury and investments in Divan Housing. So that happened for 4 years. And then, very interestingly, the way Bhagwan directed his life at this point is something which baffles him even now. In 2015, he found himself in Australia. And now he is a project manager in the Department of Agriculture, Government of Australia, and someone who was so much deeply involved in financial markets and capital markets is now actually doing a project guiding people in the Department of Agriculture far away in the island in different corner of the world in Australia. And today he is also the regional youth advisor. He was the regional youth advisor for 2 years, 2015 to 2017, for the Australian Capital Territory. And he currently is a spiritual coordinator for the Sai Center in Canberra. So he's very deeply involved in the Sai activities in Australia. In fact, today, as you connect the dots, you know why Swami sent him there. And of course, you can see only one or two dimensions. And as time unfolds, as we see with all our lives, we see that everything had a purpose. Everything was a plan by the divine orchestrator. And Rajesh's life is a beautiful essay of this Sai story, of this Sai legacy. So welcome, Rajesh, to Fleeting Moments, Lasting Memories.
Thank you, Brother Pristi. At the outset, I want to thank Swami for giving me this golden opportunity, and to Radio Sai for having me. You have said it correctly that you know, life is full of coincidences. When we connect dots, there is nothing called coincidence. Coincidence is nothing but when God chooses to be anonymous. And there are a couple of stories in my life which definitely proves this point, that Swami's unseen hand has been protecting me, and in fact it's protecting all of us even now, and I'm sure forever.
Wow. So I know we'll go to those stories in a little while. Let's start from where it all began. So how did you become a student? Was that a dream, or when did that urge come that I have to become a Sai student?
Okay, so it all began, my grandmother, that's my mother's mother, and my mom's family were Shirdi Sai Baba's devotees. Mm-hmm. So from a very young age, I was introduced to Shirdi Sai Baba as God, and we used to worship him, visited Shirdi a couple of times in my very young age. And I was always been a part of a very spiritual family. But I think somewhere in 1985 or 86, my uncle, that is my father's elder brother, his family were introduced to Swami. I'm not sure how long they were introduced to Swami, but I remember one particular day when I was very young, I visited their place, and I saw one photograph which of Shirdi Sai Baba and Satya Sai Baba together. Mm-hmm. And since I believe Shirdi Sai Baba is God, as a child I was introduced, I didn't understand who was the other person on, you know, sort of sharing the same photograph. And honestly, I was a bit scared looking at the halo hair, and as a kid I was a bit scared. But that was the first time when I saw Swami's photograph, and didn't understand why is he sharing that same photograph. But I think in 1986, Swami visited Dharmakshetra, Bombay, and my aunt took my mother for her darshan. So my mother, she went along with my aunt, and I and my brother were with my father. But since she didn't turn up quickly, we decided to go and fetch her, and okay. We decided to go to Dharmakshetra. And at that point of time, Swami was sitting on the dais at the giving darshan. And I vaguely remember I was 10 years old then. That was the first time when I saw Swami. Again, that was a feeling of fear more than any other feeling, because as a child, I was introduced to Shirdi Baba as God, and this man with a lot of hair, and really didn't connect anything. And as a child, I was very innocent. I was literally got scared. And that's the end of the story there. So somewhere in the year 4 years, there was a pretty dire period in the family in terms of Swami's presence. 1990, I would believe, or 91, as much as my memory goes, is when Swami started entering our life in terms of my uncle coming down to a place with Swami's video, the famous book Man of Miracles, and other things coming through. My father visiting the Sai Center, he coming to Prashanthi Nilayam for a seva, we going for bhajans, and Swami starts pulling us through all these means. And I came to Prashanthi Nilayam for the first time for Shivratri in 1992.
So by that time you had that fear was gone?
I should say yes, because I think what really attracted me was Sai Bhajans. It was very, it used to attract me because I used to like the environment. I used to like the bhajans and the thing. So, the fear did go.
Were you into music?
I should say that I was attracted to music. I never formally learnt music, but I was...
But somehow the bhajans just captured you.
It did capture me. It did capture me as a young child towards Swami. At least it removed the fear of who this person was. It was something which was very welcoming. And that is something which caught my attention at a very young age.
So you loved going to the Sai Center?
Oh, yeah, of course. I still love. Then, of course, I joined Balvikas. I completed my Balvikas. Mm. And in 1992, I came to
Krishna. So, your parents are completely into Swami now?
Yeah, by then they were completely into Swami. Mm. So, there was no, not a dramatic story which pulled us in. It was just through the normal Sai activities we got interested, because I think what caught us as a family was the environment which was full of peace and love. Mm. So, 92, I came for Shivratri, and I vividly remember even today, the moment I entered Prashantinilayam, the place overtook me. I couldn't believe such a place existed on this, because I was always from Mumbai, and Mumbai is full of the good and the bad attractions. Mm. I never thought, I found this, I mean, if somebody had described heaven, I thought it just, this is what was heaven. I don't know. I just, if suppose as a child, somebody would have told, God lives in heaven, heaven is beautiful, this. When I came to Pati, I just connected to that.
Oh my God.
This was so calm, so peaceful and so beautiful. So the place really overtook me. I remember as a young child, my father and my brother used to take me for Suprabhatam, Omkaram, Nagar Sanketan. We used to go and sit in the token lines. It was something, a beautiful experience. And Swami used to come as early as 6:45 in the morning. Yes. And it was such a beautiful experience. And craving for Swami started growing more and more. As I said, the place was something which attracted me, and I wanted to be in that place for a very long time. If you ask me what is the reason, I don't have a clear reason.
The soul just felt full and connected.
I would agree with that, because that's what, something happened. And I remember in one of those darshan sessions, I think I was here for a week during that visit. So in one of those evening sessions, as I was sitting, because very hot sun we were sitting, and I got some last rows, pretty disappointed that, you know, after such an effort as a child, you know, you get tired, and as a child, and
you were just 14, 15.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And I remember, I very vividly remember Swami, just before Swami, on that particular day, before he came, 5 minutes before, you know, this was the old Prashanti, not the Kulwanthal, a stream of white men just entered, and they just went right up to Swami's entry room and started sitting there, and you know, I couldn't understand, what's this? I said that I put so much of effort, and this man just come 5 minutes before, and just and I asked my father that who are these people. They said they are Swami's students. You know, although I didn't ask my father then, but that urge started coming in. What do I do to become a student? Because I wanted to, as I said, first thing is I wanted to be here for a long time. Second is I wanted to be close to Swami.
I want to belong to that group.
I want to belong to that
who
group.
Who can just come and straight.
Exactly. No effort required, just the so-called VIP, VIPs of the VIPs. So something that attracted my attention a lot as a young child. And I said, okay, I should start working on this as to what's required.
How to get there?
How do I get there? I just wanted to give a sort of a, you know, what I really wanted to be in life. I was very, as a young child, I was very, I don't know, somehow I was very, very passionate about the train engines, the aeroplanes. Till the time I saw an aeroplane, the train engines attracted me. I remember my cousin took me to a station to pick up some relatives, and I literally started crying that I want to go inside this engine. And he spoke to that driver and said, can this child come and see it? And the driver agreed. I was that passionate.
Wow.
When aeroplanes were introduced in my life, I was passionate for aeroplanes. And somehow once aeroplanes introduced, you know, you go to the next level. So I decided, okay, I mean, not decided, that passion grew in me that I wanted to be a pilot. And I said, okay, whatever it takes, I would love to be a pilot as a career.
So that was the dream as a child.
So in fact, not known to many, I started doing a bit of research on my own just to see what is involved to be a pilot and stuff. In those days, there was no internet or Google or something. But that was one thing. But moment I came to Prashantinam, I saw this man in white. All those ambitions went off. And my only ambition which was there was, what will it take to be a part of this group? And that
you didn't want to be in the sky, you wanted to be in heaven.
Yeah, I wanted to be in heaven, rightly put. So I went back to Bombay. And I expressed my desire that I want to apply for this school. I want to study in Swami school.
Hmm. And so it came from you, not from your father, not from your parents.
It came from me, yes. But of course they also wanted it, so okay. They supported the the thought. And in those days in Dhammakshetra there was a mentor who used to influence a lot of young hearts to be Swami students, and used to tell us that the benefits of being a Sai student, the proximity which you will enjoy, which is something which easily is a kicker for all of us.
Cannot compare with anything else.
And in which I saw that in Prashantalingam, so for me it was not at all required to be. But any which ways, so we met him and he completely guided me as to what needs to be done in terms of being right from how do you fill the application. He saw my mark sheets, and at that point of time, because to be a pilot you need to take science stream and not commerce stream, and he looked at my marks. He said, "I don't think so. Science stream is something which you can easily get through, but your marks would say that commerce is something I think you should be able to get through, at least the admit card." I said, "Uncle, if that's arts, I will take it. I want to be there." That's all. So
here it's perceived like that. It's arts, you lower marks. So you have the sciences. If you have more than 85-90%, then you get the sciences and all that. Yeah,
I was somewhere between 75-80%. So commerce is something which was something he advised me.
Yeah.
And I applied for commerce, and I got the admit card. A very interesting incident happened that time that, I was young, and neither my father nor my brother could accompany me for the admit card for some reason. And they were pretty apprehensive of sending me alone to Bharti for the entrance exam. And one more brother from my Sai Center also applied for his master's in business administration course, and he also got an admit card. But my ticket was confirmed in the train, his ticket was not confirmed, but any which ways he was going to catch the train. So my parents said that okay, he's there, but didn't know which bogey he would be there. But any which ways they gave me a lot of guidance as to how do you get close, stay connected with him, don't get down from the station, and all those general guidance which parents give. But when I reached the station, I went into my seat. This boy was sitting just next to me.
Oh.
So he was not in some other bogey. He was in the next seat.
Next seat.
Mine. So which shows how Bhagwan, connects each and every moment in our lives and ensures that, his unseen hand is seen. So I did come here. Gave my entrance, by his grace, got through. There was no major problems then and there in the entrance and the other areas. But I think I joined the school in June of 1993. And so as a student, yes, your dream of being close to Swami was definitely met. I did come at the last moment before Swami arrived, but at that moment I must admit I did miss the token lines. It had its own charm and energy because your prayers are very high to get the first line.
Yes.
So it had its own benefits. It's only when you when you lose it, you miss it, and you understand
there is a thrill and joy of just waiting. And which number are you going to get today?
You're right.
And what will Swami do today?
It was such a beautiful. So my 11th and 12th grade, I must say, was one of the first miracles which I saw in front of me was when Swami took a devotee who was in a wheelchair for an interview, and he came out walking, and Swami took out, in fact I think in a couple of videos that still is seen, Swami took his walking stick away from him and told him to walk, and he came and told to boys near that he didn't walk for the last 20 years, and he was walking in pretty good speed, and that was something which we saw saw for the first time as from the miracles point of view. And many other experiences did happen. One experience which I want to share here was in those days, every Sunday Swami used to distribute prasadam generally to the students. Yes. Later on, he
and primary kids also would be there.
You're right. And that's the incentive for getting the prasadam.
Yeah.
So one day, one particular Sunday, he called a few boys. I did get an opportunity to go and distribute prasadam. And so I finished, I and the other boys, everybody started, finished distributing. And we kept those vessels behind Swami's chair. Swami came, Swami was inside the interview room, Swami came out, he did very slow steps, he came slowly, I was sitting in the second row, he came to me, he said, have you distributed prasadam to all? So I said, yes Swami. He said, are you sure? Now these are you sure questions are something when it's better to be quiet rather than saying yes or no, but in my ignorance I said yes.
Oh.
I said yes Swami. Swami again asked, are you sure? Then the second time I realized that it's better to say keep quiet rather than saying yes or no. I kept quiet. Then Swami looked. He didn't look at the second row. He didn't look at the third row. He looked at the 10th or the 12th row somewhere. And he said, one boy, get up. So one boy got up. He said, no, you sit down. The boy behind you, get up. He said, where is the prasadam? He said, Swami, I didn't get.
Oh, my God.
And he looked at me. He said, see, you didn't give him. That was my first experience of his omnipresence. When I started really trembling, he knows everything. It's just a small incident which he wanted to give me that understanding that he is all knowing. Post that, in the year 1994, when I was in my 12th grade, Swami permitted us to come for the morning darshans in our study holidays. And we had a lot of good experiences there. Swami gave us interviews. Swami gave us photographs. Now, there is a particular story behind this photograph session. So Swami decided to bless our batch with photographs. So the boys started going one by one. When the first boy went, Swami said, I have two aunts, so two boys can come. Pair photograph, you're right. So randomly two lines were formed.
Yes.
So when I went, there was one boy who came from the other side, I came from this side. And I remember very vividly, and this is very, very important in my life. This only keeps moving even today. When I went, most of the other boys went and hold Swami's hand. I don't know for what reason, and this is also, I think, at a later stage when you'll come to know why this thing happened, I went and folded my hands. I didn't hold his hand. So Swami patted my hand. So my hand fell. So when my hand fell, he lifted it. So he lifted it. So that photograph is somewhere he is holding my hand. And the other side, the boy, he is holding Swami's hand. And I keep that photograph even today in my wallet, which only keeps him going that, this, I will never leave this hand. So he held my hand.
He will lift you up.
He will lift me up. At that point of time, I didn't realize. A few days when the photographs were developed, one of my classmates came and said, did you observe that, most of the other boys are holding Swami's hand. Swami is holding your hand. Very good feeling because I didn't really notice all those things, but that's something which keeps me moving even today. Now, so I finished my 12th grade and decided to apply for my BCom. Now, BCom had a very, very strict rules as to what is the eligibility criteria. And one of the eligibility criteria for some reason was marks were quite good in 11th, 12th grades, which was good to go through for the admit card. But my 10th English, they required minimum of 55 marks English. I got 54. Mark. And so that was the only point, because again I went back to this uncle who was mentoring all of us, and he said, this might be a problem for you. So I said, fine, let's see what happens. And incidentally, the other boy was in that photograph was on the other side. His marks were also 54 in English.
Oh my God.
So that's why there is nothing called coincidence.
Yes.
It is coincidence. Why we both came in that photograph. It could be anybody else.
Yes.
So out of our entire batch, two students didn't get admit card. That is me and the other brother.
Swami had to lift you slightly.
Lift both of us actually.
So
we didn't get our admit cards.
Mm-hmm.
Remember in the month of May 1995, not May, I think end of April, when the entrance exams were supposed to happen, I reached Parthi, he also reached Parthi, the other brother, and we were contemplating as to what needs to be done. So I remember a couple of days before the entrance exam, we walked up to the vice chancellor's cabin at the administration block, and we pleaded him, sir, give us an opportunity to write the entrance. If you don't do well at the entrance, then we will take it as Swami's will and go back. But give us an opportunity. So he said that rules of the university are rules. We can't distinguish between yourself and somebody else. I think we have to be fair to all. So we can't permit you to, if you have not satisfied any of the rules, we will not be allowing you to write the exam. So we were not allowed to write the entrance exams. In those days, the Anandpur sisters were finishing their entrance first, and then the boys were writing their exams. So the registrar sir was going to Brindavan taking the Anandpur results. That the day when we met the vice chancellor, that day he was leaving. That next day he was leaving for Brindavan to show the Anandpur results to take Swami's blessings on them before displaying it. So we went, we just went to his quarters, and he came, we just accidentally met him, and we said, sir, this is the issue, can you please tell Swami when you get a chance? He was very kind enough, he said, okay, I will speak to Swami, and if pray to Swami, whatever he wills will happen. So we were happy, at least he gave us a positive feeling saying that, okay, you will speak to Swami, so it's fine. So he did go to Brindavan, he did speak to Swami, and Swami said, let the 12th grades come out, and then we will see, you know.
Oh.
That statement also is so, we will see is such an open-ended statement.
Yeah.
But it's fine, at least Swami said something that itself is a great
boon. There was some hope.
There was a great boon, in fact, Swami telling something for us itself is a great boon.
Yes.
So we decided to go back. To our respective hometowns, and decided to come for summer course, which because the results used to come during the summer course days. So we landed back in end of May, around 20th of May, back in Brindavan.
You didn't think of applying anywhere else?
Nowhere.
Very clear.
Very clear. Nowhere. In fact, I must say my parents were pressurizing me to think of other options, other universities.
Yes.
I said, unless Swami tells me, in fact, I went to that extent, let Swami tell me, go and study somewhere else, I will go. Otherwise, till then, I would want to do my best to be a part of the university here only. Wrote a lot of letters, you know, all those.
It is quite a sadhana period.
Sadhana period. A lot of letters and stuff. We came to summer course. Now, I and this brother were staying outside Brindavan in one of the hotels outside. All my batch was a part of summer course, attending everything. Only we two boys were outside. We were part of the ex-students sitting, and you all were part of the students. So it was something...
very difficult to digest.
You're right. It's very difficult, but I remember it was somewhere around 22nd or 23rd of May when the results were displayed, and we both got very good marks in English and other subjects. So we thought we ticked our box, and now it's all good to go. But Swami will test you more and more and more, and that's good for our own spiritual growth. So we went back to the registrar, and with a lot of hope, he said, sir, now we have got this. Can you please ask Swami that can we be permitted to be part of the student community? So he said, he didn't say anything. He'd say, okay, I'll see. Now days passed, nothing happened. June 1st, Parthi boys went to Parthi, Brindavan boys started their classes here. And so we decided, okay, anything and everything has to happen in Prashanthi Nilayam in terms of admission and things. because Vice Chancellor Ishtar, everybody is in Prashantinam. So we said, okay, we'll go to Parthi and wait there because, you know, Swami might send a message. We were so confident of that. Swami might send a message to them any moment, so we should be ready. We did go to Prashantinilayam on the 1st of June. And I remember for the next 7 to 10 days, I think, there was completely dry period. In fact, we were staying in the old hostel and we were just playing caroms because there was nothing. We were going for budgets, coming, because there was nothing else. And there was a lot of pressure from the family.
Yeah, what are you doing?
What are you doing? But by His grace, again, I said, nothing will happen unless Swami, let Swami come. I'll ask Him whenever He tells me what.
And you don't know when Swami is going to come.
Nothing. One particular evening after dinner, we caught Vice Chancellor, who was taking a stroll around the South Indian canteen block. And we did ask him, sir, we got good marks in 12th. Can you please ask Swami? He said, you boys have come again. Now the classes have started. Everything has started. It's all over, boys. You should go and start looking out for admissions elsewhere and not waste time here. Yes. This was a statement. So you, I think you should think about going. So don't even think, because everything is over.
Yeah.
So after that, we did come back to the hostel pretty disappointed as a young age. And I think it was some June 7th and June 9th, we got the information Swami is coming back to Puttaparthi. So Swami came back on that day. And you know, when Swami in those days used to come, there was very few boys in the ex-student block and all, because just Swami arrives from Vrindavan to Parthi. And that Swami came in the afternoon. That evening, only we two boys were sitting in the ex-student's block. And Swami came, Swami took his normal darshan, and he didn't come and take our letters, but he looked at us and he had a glance on us and he just went. And as we all know, that Puttaparthi is his office, as Swami has described. Swami started calling all the officials of different
institutions
for whatever, taking reporting or whatever, and he called Vice Chancellor and Registrar. And we thought that Swami is just how many students have joined and all those things, you know, you would have been interacting and all those things. So bhajans, so they had a pretty long session. I vividly remember, because we were so involved in that. I remember Swami spent a lot of time with the registrar and the vice chancellor inside the interview room. And after the bhajans, we were just going back to the whole hostel to stay. And this time, registrar was running behind us. Instead of we running behind the registrar, and registrar was running behind us, he said, boys, please come to the administration block tomorrow at 10 o'clock in the morning. You have to give your entrance test tomorrow. And tomorrow itself is the interview. And Swami has asked us to give you all admissions.
Oh.
can you just even now when I'm talking about this, goosebumps are coming.
It's quite unthinkable.
You're right. So next day morning, trust me, we were playing caroms. We didn't study anything. Nothing. I just went for the entrance. I remember I just ticked mark saying Sairam, just tick mark.
You knew that what will take you through is your conviction and your trust in Swami.
That's all. Nothing else. And I mean, it's just that, you know, that faith that, you know, he knows it all.
Yes.
And I think once you have the desire, your hunger for God is there, he takes over.
You didn't even give a letter when Swami came.
Nothing. Because I held the letter.
Okay.
He didn't come and take it. He just had a glance anyway. He just saw it. But I did give some letters in Vrindavan took. So he knows everything. So next day morning we went, gave the entrance. The interview was held. The same vice chancellor took our interview. And I vividly remember he telling us the statement, because Swami asked me to give you all admission, I'm giving it. He didn't ask us any technical questions, nothing. The interview was me, the boy, and the vice chancellor. No other
people. No interview panel.
No. Only we three in his chamber.
See, basically he was only telling you that, congratulations.
He just said this, that because Swami has asked me to give you admissions, I'm giving you.
Wow.
I want you all to go and report to Vrindavan tomorrow morning. that day evening from ex-student's block, you stayed away.
So the vice chancellor initially rejected, but the chancellor picked you up.
That's all. You worded it so appropriately. Mm. So right from the ex-student's block, he straight away went in front and took Swami's blessing. And thanked Swami for this abundant grace which he gave us on us. And Swami said, don't waste time. Classes have started. Go to Vrindavan tomorrow morning. My blessings are there with you. And next day morning, we went to Vrindavan. When my own batchmate was going for classes, I entered the hostel and took admission. And I think this was on the 11th of June. 11 days after the college has started.
Anything is possible.
Anything is possible. So, this is the way I got into my...
I mean, if you see, any normal student would have thought that now it's not possible. I mean, classes have already started. I mean, the vice chancellor also has already communicated and told very clearly, I mean, are you living in some paradise, fool's paradise? I mean, this is not going to happen. But your conviction, even at that age, was so strong. And I think that is what ultimately spirituality is all about. Faith, I mean.
I would say it is his grace which gave us that conviction.
True, but only when you have that faith, you draw that grace.
You're perfectly right on that. Because, there were a lot of pressures from different corners saying that, you know, you should think through what you're doing. You'll be wasting your time. Mm. But somehow he kept us moving. Mm. And when he felt that we are past this test, he blessed us with this.
As they always say, you know, there is nothing like impossible. It's only him possible.
Yeah.
Everything is possible.
Everything is possible. So that's the way I joined Vrindavan. Vrindavan life is something which is so beautiful. Tri sessions are amazing. Mm. One episode in tri session in my, which vividly I remember, you know, as Vrindavan students, we get an opportunity to take Swami's Aarti by turns. And the person who takes Swami's Aarti goes to Tri first.
Yes. So Tri is, for the benefit of listeners who are not aware, Bhagwan's residence, and the sessions that he has with the students in the evening after bhajans are called Trai sessions, and students have the opportunity to perform Aarti, sit very close to Bhagwan as the sessions go on. Yes, brother, continue.
Yeah, so I really remember that particular day when Swami called us for inside Trai. I was right under his feet at the Jula, and Swami was a guest speaker spoke, Swami gave a discourse. In that discourse, Swami gave a very important point, which again keeps me moving even now. Mm-hmm. He said that, you boys, you don't know how fortunate you are. Then Swami said, you know how fortunate you are. So we all said, yes, Swami, we are in your presence. That's why he said, not only that, you're fortunate for three reasons. Well, that's what Swami said on that time. Swami said, you're fortunate because you're born as a human being. After so many births, you have finally come to a stage when you can realize divinity and realize yourself and attain divinity. So you have come to the final stage. So you're fortunate. Then Swami said, you're fortunate because you're born in this holy land of Bharat. And Swami said, Tyagabhumi, Karmabhumi, and all those things Swami said. And Swami said, you're very fortunate for that. And then Swami said, you're very, very, very fortunate because you're born at the time when the avatar of the age is here. And this is from Swami's so much. And the next thing what he did was very, very, amazing for me, because he held my hand and he held one more boy's hand. And he said, grab this opportunity. You will never, ever get it.
Wow.
Amen. He said that, you will never ever get it. Grab this opportunity. So, you know, that was something which was, Swami blesses me to give, talks about him at any forum, I end with this, that, this is the lifetime opportunity. We consciously in this birth, we are not aware whether we were part of the Rama avatar or the Krishna avatar, but we consciously in this birth, we know we were part of the avatar. And here the avatar himself said that, grab this opportunity, you will never ever get it again. So that's something which keeps me moving, was the most thrilling story in Vrindavan. So,
and this is the second time he's holding your hand. I mean, maybe so many times, but the second time...
Physically, yes. You're right. You're right. So that's one very strong memory I have of Vrindavan.
Wow.
The next very important story happened in the year 1997. I was doing my final year BCom. The Satya Sai International Unity Cup was organized by Swami. All the cricketers were there.
Yes, India 11 and World 11.
You're right. Yeah. India 11,
you
World 11.
Sachin Tendulkar and all the Indian legends.
All, all the cricketing legends were there.
Yes.
So, generally in Vrindavan, boys come to Prashanthi Nilayam for the sports meet somewhere 5th or 6th of Jan or something like that. Just 5-6 days before the sports meet so that they can practice in Prashanthi Nilayam and before the final day.
On Jan 11th.
So, I remember it. So, this was in 1997, around December 15th. One particular day, I just had a bout of cough. Which I thought is just a bout of cough. It increased and became worse. In about 2 or 3 days, I was in the bed, couldn't eat anything, and used to cough almost 24 hours. No sleep, no eating, nothing.
Oh.
I visited the hostel doctor around the December 17th, 18th, I remember. And the doctor said that we need to take your chest x-ray and we'll see. Does not look anything to be alarming, but it's better, it might be an infection which we need to, but unless we take an x-ray, we can't really diagnose what's the issue. At that time, some of the Vrindavan teachers had gone to Prashanthi Nilayam because Swami had involved teachers and students to take care of the entire event.
Yeah.
Taking care of this. So there were a lot of, Swami used to interact with a lot of Parthi teachers and Vrindavan teachers and also used to allocate work. Okay, you have to do this, you have to do that. And so in that relation, some teachers from Vrindavan had got to Prashanthi Nilayam. And Swami said, when are the boys coming? So they said, Swami, because it was the Unity Cup, we were going to go early. So the warden said, Swami, around 27th of December is what we have planned. Mm. Swami said, why that late?
Mm-hmm.
Come before Christmas.
Okay.
And that was the only year which I know where we left on 21st, 21st or 22nd. Because of this story, I remember those dates very clearly. I remember because on that day and the next day, the warden announced in the bhajan hall saying that Swami has graciously permitted for us not only to attend the Unity Cup, but even for the Christmas.
Mm.
And it's a very rare privilege because Vrindavan boys didn't have that opportunity to come for Christmas, especially the Silver Door Darshan.
Yes.
So because any which was, I was going to Prashanthi Nilayam, I said, okay, I will go to the super specialty hospital and get myself checked there. There's no point in getting, because somehow heart of heart, I was thinking that this is not a small case. If I go in and get myself checked, I might be sort of locked up into the hospital for some time. That was my feeling. That's all.
Mm-hmm.
So I said, if that is the case, let me go to Parthi and not in Vrindavan. I remember that was a time when I even couldn't go in the bus. The warden sir took me in the car, in his car to Prashanthi Nilayam, and my condition became bad and bad. And it was, I wanted to, all the teachers and everybody saying, okay, let's get yourself checked. But somehow, again, this feeling was so strong. I said, I want to see this Christmas darshan, Silvardo, because I know something is...
It's a rare occasion where Vrindavan boys are actually going to Parthi.
You're right.
You can actually see that...
I didn't want to miss
part
that.
Of Christmas and see the Silver Door darshan. You don't want to be in the hospital.
So, even though in that really bad condition, I somehow, you know, really put a lot of effort in showing that I'm fine. I saw me by His grace. I saw the Silver Door darshan. By that time, my brother and my mother came down to Parthi, and I saw Christmas darshan. And that day, the hospital was closed. Next day, I landed up in the hospital, and the doctor said, "We have to take your X-ray." And I remember I went in the hospital, morning 11 o'clock x-ray was taken, 4 o'clock the reports were supposed to come, around 3:34. The doctor said, you come back at that point of time and we'll see. So at 3:34, I and my brother went to the hospital again from home. And he looked at my x-ray and he was pretty perplexed as what did he see, because one portion of my lung was not seen in that. It was fully covered with some form of liquid, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
And immediately, I remember I was conscious. You know, those days doctors used to finish by 3:30 so that they can come for bhajans.
Mm.
Immediately called a few numbers and said, this is an emergency case.
Oh my God.
We have to do some procedure on him. I want your assistance. He called some doctors. So please, so I was rushed to the critical cardiac unit, and I remember three doctors and a couple of nurses started doing some procedures on me. They had given me some local anesthesia on my back, and they started puncturing my lungs and started, and I remember they removed some 4 to 5 liters of liquid in a bottle. Something. That night, for the first time, I got some sleep because, you know, the infection was there, but they removed it, so my breathing was going on.
Better.
I missed, for the next few days, I had high temperatures. They did this procedure not once because the liquid they removed, it used to grow again. It used to form again.
Continuously aspirating this
liquid. They were trying to remove it again and again, and my temperature was pretty high.
Mm-hmm.
So, on a particular day, the doctor, when they took, because they had to find out what is that infection, the report said it is some highly infectious thing and it is contagious. They told me, so that report was sent to the warden sir. So the warden sir called my brother and he said this is a highly contagious, infectious
condition.
So you need to take your brother back to Bombay and treat him there. So he will miss a year, but we can't take him back to the hostel in this condition. That's what the report says. So this was in the evening. I don't know the date, but this was on one particular evening from 26 December to 30th December, one of those days. And Swami was physically very busy with all these events.
Mm.
So he was not informed about my condition.
Mm.
So what had happened was my brother wrote a letter, whatever the wardens had said, word by word he wrote a letter. And next day morning, he sat for darshan. He got the 16th row. He tells me even today, he got the 16th row. And Swami came. Swami was coming, so it was very far.
Mm.
And he just raised his hand with the letter.
Mm-hmm.
And Swami stood in front of him, and from that, he's called like this.
Oh, my God.
And he you know, crossed 16 rows and went right in front of Swami. So just Swami didn't say do anything. He just took that letter, and he carried on. Now this is something he's sitting so far. He says, I didn't even put any effort. I just raised my hand with the letter and Swami asked me to come and give the letter. Letter was given. That evening Swami called Warden Sir and had a lengthy talk with him. And immediately after the bhajans, the Warden Sir came back and called my brother. And they said that Swami has given this 14 packets of Vibhuti. And Swami said, no infection. And Swami has asked me to take your brother back in the hostel.
Wow.
And continue studies. And I remember the next day, I had 5 or 6 teachers who came and saw me, including the warden sir. And everybody came to the hospital. They gave me those Vibhuti packets. And they told the doctor, Swami has told to mix it in water and give it to him. And this was around, and my temperatures were about 104 degrees every day. And they didn't know what to do because the infection was, they didn't know what to do. And this was December 3rd, when after this unity event over, they started giving me this Vibhuti packets around Jan 2nd or 3rd, around this time. And in 3 days I was discharged.
Discharged
completely, infection, and the report was taken. The earlier report says unknown infection, the infection was not there.
Completely disappeared.
They didn't have to remove that liquid. The temperatures became normal in 3 nights. I took the Vibhuti for 3 nights. And Swami had told, take for 3 nights. And everything disappeared. And on the 6th or the 7th of Jan, I was there for darshan. I thank Swami for saving me. And then this is incident. And that's why I always connect my dots. In 1995, Swami had not given me the seat. He knew that in 1997, this is what is going to happen in my life. Mm-hmm. And I had to be under his presence for him to save me.
Yes.
And this is the way he has connected that,
yes,
those stories, those dots.
Continuously he's been lifting you. He lifted your hand, he's lifted your heart, he's lifting your lungs. All the time he's taking care. I mean, you're in his hands. He's lifting you on his hands all the time.
Completely agree, Prasthi brother. Because my mother, when my temperatures were not going, my mother, out of utmost concern, she went up to the doctor and said that, you know, when he will get discharged, been there. The doctor told my mother that he's alive itself is a miracle today.
Oh my God.
So medically, the condition was something where the one side of the lungs were completely, so I was breathing with, I don't know medically how do I describe it, but one side of the lungs was not working.
Hmm.
So how from 15 December to 21st December, who was breathing for me? I don't know. From 21st to 26th December, who was breathing for me? Swami was breathing for me. I don't know, in the sense I was not breathing, but Swami was breathing for me.
Hmm.
So that was a time when this is one thing when I connect those dots, which says that it's not a coincidence that at that point of time,
yes,
you know, why what things are happening.
And look at his grace, you know, you're so keen to have his Christmas darshan, he allowed you that, you know.
Yeah,
he allowed
grace.
You in the Christmas darshan.
His grace.
And also to think about it, yes, it was a very, very busy time for Bhagwan.
Correct.
I mean, physically, yes, because the first time the Unity Cup was happening, I mean, and the whole student community, everyone was fully involved, a new cricket ground was coming up, a pitch was coming up, and physically, Swami was super busy, but I think the lesson that I see is, God is never busy for you.
Brother, the word busy really triggers a thought in me. That thought I did have as a student at that point of time. I said, Swami, I think you're very busy. You don't have time. You don't know my condition. You don't have time for me, because physically you're very busy with these events. And when, you know, all these other events happened, when I reached this darshan, then Swami did bless me, and Swami said, God is never busy.
Swami told that?
Swami told that.
When did this happen?
Immediately after this, when I reached Mandir for the darshan, for the first darshan.
Wow. Wow.
So
God is never busy for you. Actually, we are so busy in our lives that we never have time for God, actually.
That's right.
Isn't it?
I this busy word triggered that thought in, I mean,
yeah,
I was reminded of that.
Yeah. Wow.
So that is
fantastic. I mean, he's telling you God is never busy. I mean, he's all the time busy only for ourselves.
You're right.
He's busy with each person. And actually, he's waiting when will we open our hearts so that he can, you know, pour his love and pour his healing.
Exactly, because his only weakness is his devotees.
Yes.
And devotees' prayers, I mean.
Yes.
So because I you know, humanly, to handle such complex projects,
yes,
and to have the, yes, care and concern for devotees is nothing but his love,
yes,
nothing else. That's what it connects.
Any infection will become his benediction. if we have that, you know, feeling that, Swami, only you for me. I mean, that is one thing in you. Even at that point in time, you know, you were very clear that, you know, you want to have Swami darshan. You want to be in Parthi. You didn't want to go to any other hospital. You didn't want, you know, anything that was that will take you away from Swami or take you away from the institution. That feeling was very strong, isn't it, all the time?
I think, brother, the only thing which has kept me, in fact, yeah, there were times when, you know, I was off and on into the Sai world. But I think that hunger for Swami,
yes,
was always been there as a child.
Yes. Mm.
And Swami has been just feeding that hunger so much that by giving all the stories. And
yes,
even though, as I said, life as a journey,
yeah,
will have,
yeah,
I think, you know, when Mother Kunti prayed that to Krishna that give me only troubles,
yes,
you know, when I heard it, I also used to think, why?
Yeah.
But today, after all these incidents, if I don't have this incidents, how do I experience it?
Yes.
How do I experience this,
yeah,
grace
more than
and
the,
love?
More than the trial of what we are going through in terms of difficult circumstances, the triumph that you experience of His love.
Correct.
I think those are, I mean, all these experiences become thrilling experiences, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, you thought they were chilling, but actually He makes it very thrilling.
Thrilling, yeah, exactly. And as I said, the journey becomes so beautiful under His presence that, you know, today you know that, you know, tomorrow, the next story which is unfolding, you don't have to worry because the earlier stories are giving you the strength.
Confidence, Even if you're going through a low, you are okay because you know that there is a plan.
There is a plan, you know. That's...
Wow.
Okay, so moving forward.
Yes.
Then, so 1997-98, this story was a very powerful experience in my life. Then I, with His grace, I finished my undergraduation and... joined the Masters in Financial Management course in Prashanthi Nilayam. That was pretty smooth journey.
Thank God.
Now, one more small experience during those doses. There are many small incidents when as a student life, but I think what I'm narrating are the ones which
I know, actually, you know, when you look back, every day you were living with God. And at that point in time, perhaps, you know, we were not really that enlightened. Otherwise, every day we would be actually having 10 stories. Because, you know, at that time you were so raw. You didn't really understand, you know. Only this few instances are actually very alive in your mind. Because they were very, very telling experiences.
Correct.
But I think every day there were so many happening.
Correct.
If you have to go through that experience now, probably you'll be in a completely different state of mind, different maturity level of understanding and grasping, isn't it?
Exactly. And Swami gives all those experiences just because there are some stories which are going to happen in your life where those experiences are going to help you.
Yes.
So one such experience during that time was, I was, it was just a normal... not a normal, a very special darshan session where, you know, I was sitting and Swami was just after the interview, you know, he generally used to come to the boys and have a informal chat session with them. So on that particular day he came and he came close to me and he told one boy to get up. And this boy was, I think from somewhere from the northeastern part of India, very short in height, and Swami asked me that who is tall.
Mm-hmm. He was standing next to Swami.
He was standing next to Swami. Very, I mean, just randomly, he just told this boy, get up, and he said, stand next to me, and he told me, who is taller? So I immediately said, Swami, you're taller. Then Swami said, you don't have eyes, you can't see properly. So he asked the next boy. The next boy gave a much smarter answer than mine. He said, Swami, both have the same height. So he thought he had a safe escape. And Swami said, what you boys eat, you can't see properly. Then Swami said, this boy is little bit taller than me. See the shoulder is a little bit taller than me. Then we said, yes, Swami is taller than you. Then he made this boy sit. And there was a pause of 5 seconds when he went into his divine trance, when he was looking at the sky. Then he looked and he made a very important statement, which again is very, very, you know, you keep contemplating on that statement. He said, even though I am shorter than him, the entire world is in my hand.
Wow.
He just said the statement and he just turned back and he walked away.
The entire world is in my hand.
Yeah. And he said, even though I'm shorter than him in physical height, the entire world is in my hand. So we can contemplate on the statement and derive our own understanding and learnings out of it. But I think it's a very profound revelation, at least for me, when I heard from his own mouth.
And this is what we are blind to.
Yeah, always the mind creates that sort of maya in that understanding. Yeah. But I think more and more you contemplate on the statement and try and connect to all the stories, it gives you the message what he wanted us to understand from that. So that was one very important message which I got from him directly on that particular day. So moving forward in the year, So 2000, I finished my Master's in Financial Management. Our results were expected sometime in the month of May. So the last exam was project management. And I was unwell for that exam, but still I went and gave that exam. So in the month of May, when the results came, one of the boys from Prashant and him called me and said, "Brother, you have failed one exam."
You
didn't pass one exam, and that was a project management exam. And he was very sorry about it, that he had to disclose that result to me. And if you ask me whether I was disappointed, yes, I was disappointed. But nevertheless, I think every disappointment turns into an appointment at a later stage. So I told my parents that since I have not cleared one of the exams, and generally you have to appear for that exam in the month of September.
Six months later.
So I said, any which ways, I have to appear for that exam. There's no point in staying in Bombay. I will go back to Parthi and just spend my time there. At least I'll have darshans of Swami and prepare for that paper and give it in the month of September. Now, that particular year, many of my batchmates stayed back in anticipation of getting some job because the Whitefield Super Speciality Hospital was coming up in the year 2001. They thought that they would get an opportunity because Swami will start taking boys, because they have to be trained before the hospital comes up and all those things. So many boys in my batch stayed back. So when I came here, I initially didn't have the thought of staying back or something, but this entire sort of incident compelled me to join that group. And I became a part of those so-called waiting boys, which we call it in the student parlance. So I started enjoying, and those days Swami gave a lot of attention to waiting boys. He allowed us to sit in the portico for morning darshans.
And you are there when all the other students are not there in the mornings.
Exactly. So we were about, I believe it were 20 to 25 boys who were enjoying the morning darshans in the portico, singing bhajans inside in the morning, sitting very fun. Just to give you a flashback on this story, right from my student days, I did have an urge to be a part of the bhajan group. Not that I was any talented singer or something, but it's just that I wanted to be a part of the group just by playing even an instrument, just to have the close proximity, because bhajan boys themselves have amazing chances from Swami.
When you saw the students sitting in the devotee section, and you felt, "I should be part of the student community." And once you become a student, then you want to be in the bhajan group.
Because you want to go to higher levels.
because you want something that is permanent, which give permanent access to his proximity.
Exactly.
Close proximity.
Exactly. So I did write some letters to Swami to bless me to be a part of that group. But Swami did take those letters. But as I said, none of the prayers goes unanswered. It will be answered at an appropriate time chosen by Swami himself. It was one morning bhajan session when I was just sitting in the back, and so that particular morning bhajan session, the boy used to play ganjira, didn't come for the morning bhajans, and the bhajan coordinator was because morning bhajans in those days, because it was without mics, so the ganjira was required to be played to give the rhythm. He was getting a bit worried as to what is going to happen. So I took a bold step in asking him that, "Will he permit me to play the ganjira?" He said, "Do you know how to play it?" I said, "You see, if you think I can play, then you allow me to play." He said, "Okay, if I feel that you're not playing properly, or if Swami gives me an indication that, you know, you should not play, then I will take it. I will stop you midway." I said, "Completely."
So there is no trial session. I mean,
not trial session.
No trial. You're actually having the session in front of you. It's a live performance.
it all happened in 5 minutes. So bhajan started 9, and I think 8:55. This interaction is happening. So I said, "Yes, sir. I'll abide by whatever you say." bhajan started. That was the first time I took the ganjira and played in Mandir and Swami's presence.
So you used to play in the Samitis before?
Yeah, I used to play. Mm. So Swami came and Swami sat for 25 minutes and really physically was enjoying all the bhajans. Mm. And then at the end of the session, sir said, I think Swami is happy with the way you played today. Mm. So now you need to formally ask him. Because, you know, in Prashantinilayam, you have to ask Swami's permission to be a part of the bhajan group. Mm. So next day morning, I sat where at the front next to the tabla player. And when Swami came, I did say, Swami, can I play ganjira? I would like to. And Swami permitted me. He said, yeah, play. Wow. Because the previous day, he was looking at me when I was playing. Mm. And so he identified me playing ganjira. So I think I'm the first. I'm one of those who played first and then asked permission. So the audition was given.
Audition, yeah.
Was given before.
Yes.
And
you're doing an audition in front of Swami.
So he was happy with what I did. And then for the next 7 months, I was part of the Prashanti Bhajan group in terms of playing ganjira.
Such a huge blessing, isn't it? That illness that happened because of which you didn't clear the exam.
In fact, I always call myself a fortunate failure. I'm a very fortunate. Swami chose me to fail to give this opportunity. Mm. In fact, one more story during very, for me, it's a very thrilling story which happened during the waiting days. Because I came to write my exam, I myself was sort of a bit confused whether I'm a waiting boy or I've just come to write the exam. Mm-hmm. I'm a really seriously waiting boy. And I used to discuss with a couple of my other friends, saying, what do you think? I should sit with you all
other boys are waiting only for Swami's instruction to work in different institutions.
You're right. So I consciously thought that, my thought was that I have to come because am I really mentally prepared? If he asked me to work, really, am I prepared? Mm. So that sort of confusion was going on because I thought to myself that if I'm not mentally prepared to work, I should not sit with them and enjoy all those chances. So that thing was going on, and I wrote a letter to Swami and said, Swami, you only tell me what am I, what should I do? So Swami did take that letter, and after a few days, Swami, on one particular morning session, called the brother who used to be close to Swami and called him into the interview room and told him to distribute pens, Parker pens, to all the waiting boys in the portico. Mm. That, because I was so confused, I was very confused what I should do. Mm. So I was sitting in the extraneous block. Mm. So this brother came and gave pens to everybody. And so when the bhajan was supposed to start, I think the brother went inside again. And then he got one pen and he came to the extraneous block and he gave it to me. And he did ask me, why are you sitting here? You're supposed to sit there. So I didn't tell him anything, but he went inside and Swami told him that there's one more boy who was sitting there, that you go and give it to him. And he gave me a message that you are a part of this group. You don't have to sit there. And then by his grace,
everybody is waiting for his grace.
I started, you know, enjoying his proximity and the chances which he gave post the student was really amazing. And
what probably you didn't get in 5 years or 7 years of student life, you would have probably got in those 7 months.
You're perfectly right. Amazing chances. Swami used to allow us to, I mean, each boy got a chance to push the footrest and right sitting under his under him for bhajans day in and day out. It was amazing.
Tune into Sai. Spend the day with Sai.
From 6 a.m. to 9:30 p.m. on Radio Sai Thursday Live.
Radio Sai Thursday Live.
Stay tuned.
the incessant flow of worship to Krishna was Radha's very life. In thoughts of Krishna, she was forever lost. His form danced before her eyes every moment, wakeful and dream. The blue hues of the gurgling Yamuna reminded her of Krishna's charming complexion. The merry chirping of birds stirred in her memories of Krishna's mischievous chuckles. In Vrindavan, when Krishna would play upon his flute, her days passed like moments, filling every moment with that memory. She spent her days. All that stood between Krishna and Radha's union was her mortal frame. The day finally came when even that would seamlessly slip away.
ఒక్క కోరిక కోరింది పాపం రాధా.
Radha had one desire.
నాకింకేమి వద్దు స్వామి.
I don't want anything more, Swami.
నీ మురళిని ఒక్కతూరి వాయించండి, నేను వింటాను చాలని.
I want to listen to your flute.
పాట పాడు మా కృష్ణ పరుకుతేనే లొలుకున్నట్టు.
You sing the glory and the melody so that our hearts are full.
పాట పాడు మా కృష్ణ పలుకుతేనే
పాట పాడేటప్పటికి వినింది.
She heard.
ప్రాణం విడిచింది.
She breathed her last.
ప్రాణం విడిచడమే కాకుండా ఆనాటి నుంచి కూడా మురళిని పట్టడం కూడా మానివేశారు.
Since then Krishna did not pick up that flute again.
రాధాకు ఈ యొక్క మురళిని త్యాగం చేశాడు.
He sacrificed his flute for her.
ఆ గానంను త్యాగం చేశాడు.
And then the melody too.
కట్ట కడపటి పాట కృష్ణుడు ఇదొక్కటే చెప్పింది.
In fact this was the last song of Krishna.
రాధ చాలా గొప్ప భక్తురాలు.
Radha is an ardent devotee.
కనుకనే భక్తికి అంత గొప్ప విలువనిచ్చారు.
Devotion is highly valuable.
ఇట్టి భక్తిని ఆనాటి నుంచి గోపికలు జగత్తునకు వ్యాప్తి గావించేటట్టుగా అనేక ప్రచార ప్రపంచములు చేస్తూ వచ్చారు.
This principle of devotion has been taught and shared and propagated by these gopikas.